from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Outpost Outspoken podcast. I'm your host, James Gilbert, and today I'm joined by YPG Fleet Manager Adam Wood, who will be delving with me into a topic that is revolutionizing how the federal government manages its vehicle fleet. So it's safe to say, Adam, that telematics is more than just a buzzword for you. It's a game changer.
Yeah, it sure is. It's providing the onboard diagnostics of the vehicles and what they're doing, and they're pushing that information to us.
So that's essentially what telematics is. It's using GPS technology and information that a vehicle's computer records anyway?
Yeah, right. So we're getting the GPS coordinates, and it's providing the vehicle's speed, its idling time, seatbelt usage, whether they're doing harsh cornering or harsh stopping. And then even fuel consumption and fuel tank level, things of that nature.
That pretty much encompasses about every type of function a vehicle has, doesn't
it? Absolutely, yeah. Every gauge and reading that it can, it does.
The telematic device, it's a actual piece of equipment that goes into the car?
Yes, on the retroactive side. So anything older than 2020 is we're doing retrofitting these devices into them. But post 2020, anything newer now is already integrated in from the manufacturer.
How do you receive this information?
Yeah, so there's a website basically that provides this user interface for us. So we log in and it's got a complete dashboard that you can customize.
How is that information helpful for you? Does it help you schedule vehicles for maintenance or?
Yeah, for sure. So the reports that we pull from it, they help us identify vehicles that are due for oil changes or overdue, or if they're driving around with check engine lights on, you know, we can see down to why that check engine light is on and if that's something serious and, hey, you guys, we need you to bring that vehicle in. I think there's we've seen a lot of that already.
So how many vehicles have been equipped so far here at YPG? I'm assuming there's a lot of GSAs.
Yeah. So we have 750 vehicles in ATEX fleet, and we're up to about 550, give or take, right now with telematics.
So what's going to happen with the other 250 or so?
They're getting installed more and more every day, but the mandate is by 2026. And just with the cost of these, there is a monthly expense. So we will take our time and we'll meet the 2026 deadline, but probably not before that.
Do some of these older vehicles need to be replaced before telematics can be installed?
Yeah, it's another big part of it is we wouldn't bother with putting in these retrofit units into a vehicle that we know is about to be replaced here in the next couple of months.
Oh, okay. Is it too early to tell what are some of the results that you've seen so far, like less speeding, less bad driving?
Yeah, absolutely. When this first came out, we saw a high amount of speeding incidents. And since the word is getting out, those have dropped back. So we're driving our vehicles safer now because of them.
Well, that's a bonus to it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So the big question that I get asked a lot is, does telematics record audio or video from inside the vehicle?
Yeah.
I kid you not. I get asked that question quite a bit.
No, absolutely not. There's no audio or video being recorded from telematics.
Do you know of any instances where telematics has provided information about how bad a vehicle was or how bad a vehicle needed to have maintenance on it?
Yeah, a couple different things. So one of the aspects of the dashboard, one of the reports it provides is a vehicle safety card. So it kind of takes a lot of different aspects into account.
So essentially, you don't want to see a report with a low number in all of the categories that are being tracked for maintenance.
Right. One of the aspects of the dashboard, it's a vehicle safety card. It'll take all the different readouts, and if you're harsh cornering all the time or stopping all the time, then you're going to get a lower safety score. And so that's something that supervisors can look at and turn to their folks about and see if they can correct some bad driving habits.
You haven't seen any safety index reports like that, have you?
Absolutely. I mean, I push them out.
Okay. That's not necessarily good then. Well, that should do it. We're about out of time now, but I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you very much for being here, Adam, and talking to us about what telematics is and the real-time data that it provides.
Absolutely. Real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host for this segment, Anna Henderson. April celebrates the month of the military child. Today, Summer Kloinger, the Child and Youth Services Coordinator at Yuma Proving Ground, joins me to talk about the observance and how YPG celebrates. Welcome, Summer.
Thank you.
Talk to me first about what Child and Youth Services provides. I know it surprises some people to hear that YPG has a child development center and a youth center.
Yes, actually, it does surprise a lot of people. We are a super small center compared to some of the centers that are located across the world for Army garrisons. But actually, we are one of the bigger yet smaller garrisons with a very voluminous program. We offer CDC, which is 6 weeks to 5 years. We offer preschool and Strong Beginnings. Strong Beginnings is actually building up. We're excited for the 2024-2025 year. We have a lot of space availability, not only for Strong Beginnings, but also our infant room, which I'm very surprised of. So if you're looking for care for those age groups, we have space availability right now. We also service our kinders through fifth grade. So the school age care program, they service Price Elementary School. So they'll actually go over, get the kids, bring them back to the center in the afternoons, and also in the morning times, we'll walk them over. The school age care program not only provides breakfast, but they provide snack. And then we also provide hourly care events where we'll provide dinner if we do a late night. We also have a middle school and teen program, and a lot of people don't know that. So we service 6th grade through 12th grade, and that looks like going to Ron Watson Middle School, and we pick them up. The only obligation that the middle school and teen program has to us is that they must stay for about 45 minutes, but that guarantees you transportation. And actually, the route is shorter than the school bus coming to YPG. It's an absolute free program. A lot of people do not know that, and that's very surprising, but we do offer a lot of events over the weekends and on Friday evenings for that specific age group.
And summer camp.
Oh, yes, summer camp. That is our that is one of our famous things that we do here at YPG. I was the starter of that back in 2017. So, yes, we have our summer camp where we go to Phoenix, we go to San Diego, we go to in-town venues. We're the traveling team, so we yeah. definitely love it. The kids love it. The parents love it. We like to make sure that they get their bang for their buck. We also like to make sure that the kids have experience. That's the most important part. I want them to go back to school in the fall and explain how much fun they had. So yeah, our summer camps are big here.
Well, my children have been through the CDC program, YS summer camp, and they absolutely love it. I can tell you it is the best program in town.
Yes. Also, I forgot to mention, we have youth sports and fitness. So actually we do homeschool PE, and that's free to the actual community itself. They just have to register with us, but we offer it once a week on Wednesdays for a variety of different programs. We also offer football, cheer, basketball. You name it, we pretty much offer it as long as it's like not a super contact sport. And then we pair up with MCAS that's in tech.
Definitely a lot for the children out here. You get to know these kids. You're the mm-hmm. coordinator. You're around the kids. You know them and their parents. Yes. From what you have witnessed professionally, how can being a military child be difficult?
Oh, man. There's a lot to it. Our kids for the military, they sacrifice just as much as the warfighter, just as much as that spouse sacrificed taking care of the household while that warfighter is out either TDY or they're deployed or just carrying the day-to-day missions. We know Yuma Proving Ground to be a sit-down station for a lot of military families, meaning they've struggled with a lot of deployments because a lot of times they're coming from every 6 months of deployments. So these children are growing up in households where it's primarily one parent that's in there. So they face various struggles. It's that relationship. It's building a relationship. What does the household look like when they come back? They also move every 2 to 3 years. So could you imagine as an adult just moving every 2 to 3 years and you just leave what you know because you have to, and then going out and having to make new friends or new social groups and new communities? It's hard. Military kids are some of the bravest, most fearless, most resilient kids we've ever met. And this is truly about them. So, I mean, the fact that it's only 1 month, it's not enough, but this is their month where we get to really, really celebrate them.
Let's talk about Month of the Military Child. Child and Youth Services kicked off the month with a parade, which was so much fun. Describe it to our listeners who weren't able to be there.
It's our superhero kickoff parade that we have. This is a parade that we established back in 2018, 2019 timeframe. This is a parade to celebrate our unsung heroes, our kids. Coming out and showing them just like this is for them, they absolutely love it. I know our character parade, I put it out not only to the community, but I put it out to our Desert Breeze travel camp, and they actually showed up. They were super excited and they loved it. They brought their trucks, they brought their lawn chairs, they set up on the route. So it's just an opportunity for them to be recognized and to be seen. And this is how we kick off the month.
Tell me about the small ceremony you had before the parade where leadership was involved.
In the front of our CDC, which is 1102, we go ahead and read the Month of Military Child Proclamation. It is signed off by the GM and also the Colonel. We then welcome everybody. We thank them for joining us, and then we get the parade started.
What else do you have planned for the month? I know that there's various other activities going on.
We do. We have various activities. Our next big event that we'll have is our Month of the Military Child Family Fun Fair, which is on April 26th, and that will be at Cox Field, and that's 6 to 8 p.m. And what that looks like is there's free food, there's free games, there's free prizes. We're going to have different bounce houses this year, which we're super excited. We are trying to get new activities, more activities for our teens. We realized last year, we're like, hey, like this is very around our school age and our CDC younger children. We want to really reel in the teens on this because the teens we do have, they do like participating. So we have a lot of new activities coming through. We even have a foam axe throwing board. So it's not real axes. We can't have that. Safety won't allow us. It's fine. But we do have the foam version, and I'm super excited to bring a lot of new activities to this event specifically.
Purple Up Day was observed earlier this month on April 8th, the same day as the parade. Tell me about that.
Purple Up Day is really the day where we recognize military children.
And your team also has some specially made T-shirts for
yes.
Purple Up Day. Tell me about those.
We do. And we want to give a shout out to our IHG Army Hotel sponsors who were able to buy those shirts for us. So these shirts are recognizing military children. We purple up for them. So we want to thank Miss Alma and the IHG Army Hotel for that sponsorship specifically for these shirts.
Well, Miss Summer, thank you so much for coming in here, sharing all the different activities that you have. I know
Absolutely.
That the children here are your life. You make sure that these kids have everything they need to have an enriched life here at YPG.
We try.
Any final words before we go?
We just want to say thank you to the community. I want to say thank you to my entire team. Without them and just believing in the vision and the mission, none of this would be possible. I mean, we are a small team for the amount of hats that we have to hold just because of the resources or just the funding specifically. And that's nothing we can do about it. That's just the hand we've been dealt. So I want to say thank you to the team for always supporting, because sometimes I come up with some crazy ideas and they're like, all right, we're going to do it. So I appreciate them, but also just the community. The community has really come out this last year, in the last year that I have been back, and I couldn't be more proud. It's exciting, and it makes it worth the long days when they have a great time, the kids have a great time, and you get to build core memories with them that you'll have forever. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for your time today and also what you do for YPG and the Army community.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.